بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until yawm al-qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to page 29 of the English book, in which the author, Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he speaks about the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was in Mecca. He said, وَكَانَ يُصَلِّي إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ مدة إقامته بمكة ولا يستدبر الكعبة ويجعلها بين يديه. He said he would perform the prayer in Mecca facing Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, all the while never turning his back to the Kaaba. Rather, it would be in front of him in the direction of Baytul Maqdis. So this chapter is regarding the salah, and the salawat as an act of worship, they existed in the religion and message of every single prophet and messenger before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So every prophet and messenger and the Muslims who came before, all of them, they offered some type of salah, and there's various evidences for this. So firstly, Allah ordered Ibrahim and his son Ismail alayhim assalam to build the Kaaba, and he said, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Allah said, and we ordered Ibrahim and Ismail to purify the house, i.e. the Kaaba, لِلطَّائِفِينَ, for those who would make tawaf, and aakifin, and those who would devote themselves in i'tikaf in around the haram. وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُود, and those who make al-ruku' and those who make al-sujood, mean those who offer the salawat. And also the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O my Lord, make me one who establishes the prayers and my children. And also the salah was an obligation in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. And this Allah mentioned in the Quran. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ وَأَخِيهِ. We revealed to Musa and his brother, أي Harun, أَن تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا, that you should prepare houses for your tribe or for your nation in Egypt. وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً, and make your houses a qibla. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the salah. So these ayat, they show us that the salah, what we call the prayers, they weren't exclusive to this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, they existed with every prophet and every messenger. And not only salah, there were other acts of worship which we do today in Islam, which also the previous prophets and messengers and their people did. So some of the ayat, they mention fasting. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. O people of Iman, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those who came before you. So this means that fasting, as an act of worship, it was there before the coming of Islam. And also الزَّكَاةِ, and also Al-Hajj, and some of the other acts of worship which we do as Muslims in the religion of Islam or the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were also present in the previous legislations and the previous Sharia. However, what differed was how they were offered. So the fasting which was there previously, it could very well be different to the fasting which is in our ummah. And the giving of zakah in terms of how much is given and who is it given to And who is it taken from? The details of zakah in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam differs from the previous legislations. And this is why Allah said in the Quran, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا, that for each one of you messengers, we have made a sharia and a minhaj. A sharia, a particular set of laws. So the previous legislations, there were some things that they all agreed upon and there were other things that they differed. So what we call usuluddin, the basics and the fundamentals of the religion, i.e. aqeed and tawheed, this was constant throughout history. From the first messenger to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the message of aqeedah, message of tawheed, the message of iman, al-imanu bil yawm al-akhir, and rectifying the noble manners, this message has always been constant. And then the obligation of certain acts of worship. Like I said, the prayer and fasting and hajj and zakah and also other acts of worship. What differed from legislation to legislation is how these acts of worship are to be performed. The details of the acts of worship, the times in which they are performed, some of the ahkam, some of the rulings of the sharia, also the uqubat, the punishments, were different from sharia to sharia. And the ulama have all agreed that the five daily prayers, which we called as-salawatul khams, or as-salawat al-maktuba, that they were obligated after or on the night of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the night journey, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken up to the heavens. All of the ulama have agreed that this is when the five salawat, they were obligated. However, before this, even before the obligation of the five daily prayers, there were other prayers. And these other prayers were also wajib upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. And how do we know that before the five daily prayers, i.e. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, before these five daily prayers, how do you know there were other salawat which were an obligation upon the Prophet and his companion? With a number of evidences. So the first evidence is that there are a number of ayat which were revealed in Mecca before Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, which mention Aqimus Salah, establishing the prayers. And also the hadith of Abu Sufyan, which I mentioned in one of the previous lessons. And that is that Abu Sufyan, who was one of the chieftains of the Quraysh, and at this time he was a mushrik, he was a non-Muslim, he accepted Islam later on. He went to the ruler of Sham at that time called Hirqal. And he had a conversation with Hirqal. And Abu Sufyan went there to try to persuade Hirqal to reject the Muslims and to go against the Muslims. So Hirqal, this ruler, he asked Abu Sufyan, "Mada ya'murukum?" What does this man Muhammad, what does he order you with? And Abu Sufyan replied, and he was still a non-Muslim at the time, يَقُولُ اعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, that he, i.e. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, worship Allah alone and do not ascribe partners to him. وَتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ, and abandon what your forefathers say, i.e. idol worship. وَيَأْمُرُنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ, and he orders us with salah. وَالزَّكَى وَالصِّدْق, الزكاة and truthfulness. والعفاف and modesty. والصلة and keeping the ties of kinship. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith shows that before the five daily prayers and before Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, there was some form of salah and there was some form of zakah which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to order the people with. However, the ulama then differed what this obligation was. What was the salah which was an obligation upon the Muslims before Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj? So some of the ulama, they mention that the obligatory prayer at that time was Qiyamul Layl. That the Muslims, the Prophet and his companions, they were ordered to pray some of the night. And this was an obligation. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, when Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that stay awake at night and pray except some of it. Meaning some of it sleep, but some portion of the night you have to stand up and you have to pray. So some of the ulama mention that Qiyam al-Layl, praying some of the night, this was the obligation upon the companions and upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when the Prophet was taken to the heavens and the five daily prayers were obligated, then Qiyam al-Layl, or the obligation of Qiyam al-Layl, was abrogated. And then it became something which is encouraged or something which is nafal, but it is not wajib. And this was mentioned by Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ افْتَرَضَ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ فِي أَوَّلِ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ, that verily Allah, He made Qiyam al-Layl an obligation in the beginning part of this surah. فَقَامَ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَصْحَابَهُ, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, they used to establish this prayer, ay Qiyam al-Layl, as an obligation. And towards the end of this surah, then the Qiyam al-Layl, it was abrogated and it was left as something which is encouraged, but it is not an obligation. This is one opinion. The second opinion is that the obligatory prayer before Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj was two raka'at in the morning and two raka'at in the evening. And this has been also mentioned by some of the Sahaba and some of the Salaf. And this is in implementing the saying of Allah, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. Allah said, glorify the praises of your Lord before the break of dawn and before its setting, before sunset. Meaning, two raka'at early in the morning at the break of dawn, and then two raka'at in the evening just before Maghrib. And this was the initial obligation. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, when he gave the tafsir of this ayah, he said, وَقَدْ كَانَ هَذَا قَبْلَ أَن تُفْرَضَ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ, that this ayah, or this obligation, was before the obligation of the five daily prayers, Laylat al-Isra, and the night of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ مَكِّيَّةٌ, and this ayah is Makkiyah. Meaning in Mecca, the Prophet and his companions, it was wajib upon them to pray two raka'at in the morning before dawn and two raka'at in the evening before Maghrib. And then also, when the Prophet was taken up to the heavens, then this ayah was also abrogated and the obligation does not remain anymore. Then in the 10th year of prophethood, 10 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation, an event occurred, and this event, it is called Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. And in reality, Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj are two different events. There are two events which occurred on the same night. So Al-Isra, this refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being taken from Mecca, from Masjid al-Haram, all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And this was done at night. This is Al-Isra, the night journey. The night journey of the Prophet from Mecca all the way to Jerusalem. And as for Al-Mi'raj, the meaning of Al-Uruj is to ascend. So Al-Mi'raj is the ascension. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was taken up from Jerusalem, from Baytul Maqdis to the seven heavens and above the seven heavens. And above the seven heavens is where the five daily prayers were obligated. And then within this journey was the return of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Mecca on the same night. So on the same night, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam took two journeys. The first journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then the second journey from Jerusalem to the seven heavens. And then on the same night, he was brought back to his residence. And Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, both of these journeys are established in ayat of the Qur'an and also authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So with regards to Al-Isra, Allah said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Allah said, Subhanalladhi, glory be to the one, i.e. Allah, asra bi abdihi, who took his worshipper on the Isra, i.e. on the night journey, laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa, from masjid al haram to masjid al aqsa. And as for the mi'raj, which is the journey from Jerusalem to the heavens, or from the earth to the heavens and above the heavens, then this is mentioned in various authentic ahadith. And these ahadith have been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim in his Sahih and in the other books of hadith and at-tafsir. Some disagreement or difference occurred that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was taken to Jerusalem and when he was taken to the heavens, was he awake and it was his soul and his body which was taken? Or was it only the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which was taken and his body remained in Mecca and he was asleep? And the correct view on this, and this is the view of the majority of Ahlul Hadith and the Fuqaha from the Salaf and the Khalaf, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was awake and he was taken on the night journey and also on the Mi'raj in his soul and his body. His soul and his body, whilst he was awake, were taken physically. And he returned back, his soul and his body, on the same night. And there's a number of evidences for this, and At-Tabari rahimullah, he mentions a very good point. He said, and I summarize, that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj in his soul only, whilst he was sleeping, and not by his body, then this isn't a miracle. And also the Quraysh, they would have accepted this, meaning a man saw in his dream that his soul was taken to Jerusalem and he was taken to the heavens. So this isn't a great miracle. And neither would the Quraysh have been so against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and rejected him based upon this. Because even they would have dreams where, and we also have dreams where we are taken all over the place and taken out of the world and so on and so forth. So this shows that the fact that the Quraysh was so against him, and also the fact that it was a miracle, it means that it was his soul and his body. And this is where the miracle is. That in a single night, physically, he was taken to Jerusalem, to the seven heavens and back with his body, and not merely a dream which he saw in his sleep. And also, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, no doubt it was a great occurrence in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a great miracle. However, this doesn't mean that we take that night as some form of Eid or some form of celebration. There are people nowadays, and they have specified the 27th of Rajab to be the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And there's no evidence that it was on this night. Absolute no evidence. And some of them, they perform Umrah on this night, and others they fast on this night. And all of this is from the innovations in the religion. And each one of them is blind following the other. So we shouldn't be deceived by large numbers. In Islam, large numbers, they don't mean anything. The majority of the Muslims doing something, it doesn't mean anything. In Islam, evidence is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba and the Salaf. This is the evidence. As for what the large majority of people are doing, then this is no evidence. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, towards the end of the time, he mentioned how there will be more evil people and less good people. And he mentioned the ghuraba, tuba lil ghuraba, glad tidings to the ghuraba, i.e. those who are few in number. And many other evidences with regards to this meaning. And then with regards to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, as we mentioned, there are a large number of ahadith. And some of the ulama mentioned that 26 sahaba narrated the story of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. However, there isn't one narration which mentions the full story. There are different narrations, all authentic, in the various books of hadith and tafsir, and they mention different parts of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was taken to Bayt al-Maqdis, he also led all the prophets and the messengers in salah. So in Bayt al-Maqdis, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led the other prophets and messengers. He was the imam and they prayed behind him. And this is why our Prophet, we call him Imam al-Mursaleen. He is Sayyidu Walidi Adam and Imam al-Mursaleen. He is the best of the humans and he is the imam of the messengers. Because on that night, he led the prayer and he was the imam of the other prophets and the messengers. And this was also an honor for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and showing his status as the best prophet and the best messenger amongst all the Anbiya and the Rusul. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lead the other prophets and messengers in salah? How can it be that all of them are in their graves throughout the world and then at the same time they were at Baytul Maqdis? Was it only the souls of the prophets? Was it the bodies of the prophets? All of this is from ilmul ghayb, from the knowledge of the unseen. And the knowledge of the unseen, we're not allowed to question it. We only affirm that which Allah and His Messenger affirmed. So the authentic ahadith tell us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he led the prophets and the messengers in salah. And Allah knows best, this was soul and body. Just as the Prophet was taken soul and body, the prayer was also done soul and body because it fits with the story. How this was done and the logistics of it, all of this is ilmul ghaib. And it's an innovation for a person to question something which is from ilmul ghaib. Ala kulli halin sahih Muslim, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he mentions the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was taken to the Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Utitu bil buraq," that the buraq was bought. وَهُوَ دَابَةٌ أَبْيَضْ طَوِيلٌ, and this is a white animal or a white mammal which is very long or tall. And it is bigger than a donkey but smaller than a horse. حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ, and this animal, al-buraq, it took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. He said, ثُمَّ دَخَلْتُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَصَلَّيْتُ فِيهِ رَكَعَتَيْنِ, and then I entered into the masjid and I prayed two rak'at. ثُمَّ خَرَجْتُ فَجَاءَنِي جِبْرِيلْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, and then I exited from Bayt al-Maqdis and Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. He said, جَاءَنِي جِبْرِيلْ بِإِنَاءٍ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ وَإِنَاءٍ مِّنْ لَبَنٍ, and Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to me with one utensil containing khamar, alcohol, and another utensil containing milk. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he offered both of these utensils to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to drink. The Prophet said, فَاخْتَرْتُ الْلَبَنِ, so I chose the milk. Why? Because khamar, in this dunya, it is haram. And as for laban, milk, it is halal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he chose that which was permitted for his ummah. And as for al-khamr, then it is for the disbelievers in this dunya and it is for the believers in the akhirah. However, the khamr of the akhirah, it differs from the khamr of the dunya. So the khamr of the akhirah will not intoxicate. And the khamr of the akhirah doesn't contain any bad effects or any type of impurities. And then he said, ثُمَّ عَرَجَ بِنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, and then Jibreel alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they went up towards the first heaven. فَاسْتَفْتَحَ جِبْرِيلِ, then Jibreel, he requested for the door of the first heaven to be opened. فَقِيلَ مَنْ أَنْتَ, and then it was said to him, who are you? فَقَالَ أَنَا جِبْرِيلِ, he replied, أَنَا جِبْرِيلِ. فَقِيلَ لَهُ مَنْ مَعَكَ, and then it was said to him, who is with you? فقال محمد, and then he said, it is Muhammad. ففتح لنا, and then the door of the first heaven was open. فإذا أنا بآدم, and there in front of me was Adam. فرحب بي ودعا لي بخير, so he welcomed me and he made dua of goodness for me. ثم عرج بنا إلى السماء الثانية, and then we were taken up to the second heaven. فاستفتح جبريل, and then Jibreel alayhi salam, he requested for the door to be opened. فَقِيلَ مَنْ أَنْتَ, and it was said, who are you? قَالَتْ أَنَا جِبْرِيلْ, I said, I am Jibreel. قِيلَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ, and then it was said, and who is with you? قَالَ مُحَمَّدٌ, he said, it is Muhammad. فَفُتِحَ لَنَا. And then the door of the second heaven was open. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِبْنِي الْخَالَةِ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمُ وَيَحْيَى بْنِ زَكَرِيَّا صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمَا. He said, and in front of me were my two cousins, عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمُ and يَحْيَى بْنِ زَكَرِيَّا صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمَا. فَرَحَّبَا وَدَعَا لِي بِخَيْرٍ. So both of them welcomed me and they supplicated for me with goodness. ثُمَّ عَرَجَ بِي إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الثَّالِثَةِ. And then I was taken up to the third heaven. فَاسْتَفْتَحَ جِبْرِيلِ. And then Jibreel requested for the gate to be open. فَقِيلَ مَنْ أَنْتَ. So it was said, who are you? قَالَ جِبْرِيلِ. He said, I am Jibreel. قِيلَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ. It was said, and who is with you? قَالَ مُحَمَّدٍ. He said, Muhammad. فَفُتِحَ لَنَا. And then the door of the third heaven was opened. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِيُوسُفْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And in front of me was Yusuf, Prophet Yusuf صلى الله عليه وسلم. إِذْ هُوَ قَدْ أُعْطِيَ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ. And when I saw him, it was as if he was given half of all beauty. Half of all beauty was with Yusuf عليه السلام. فَرَحَّبَ وَدْعَى لِي بِخَيْرٍ. So he welcomed me and he supplicated for goodness for me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken up to the fourth heaven. And the same conversation took place. He said, فَإِذَا أَنَا بِإِدْرِيسِ. And in front of me was Prophet Idris. And he welcomed me and he supplicated for me. And then he was taken to the fifth heaven. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِهَارُونَ. And in front of me was the Prophet Harun. فَرَحَّبَ بِي وَدَعَى لِي بِخَيْرٍ. And then the Prophet was taken to the sixth heaven. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِمُوسَى. And in front of me was Prophet Musa عليه السلام. فَرَحَّبَ وَدَعَى لِي بِخَيْرٍ. ثُمَّ عَرَجَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَةِ. And then the Prophet was taken to the seventh heaven. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ عليه السلام. And then in front of me was Ibrahim عليه السلام. مُسْنِدًا ظَهْرَهُ إِلَى الْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ. And Ibrahim عليه السلام, he was sat with his back leaning against Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. And Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur is a place of worship for the angels, just as the Kaaba is a central Qibla for the humans. And Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, Wallahu A'lam, is parallel to the Kaaba. So above the Kaaba and above the seven heavens is Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. And as I mentioned, Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur is to the angels what the Kaaba is to us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned regarding Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, إِذَا هُوَ يَدْخُلُهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. That every single day, 70,000 angels enter Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَا يَعُودُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And then they never return back. Meaning, every single day, from the creation of Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur until Yawm Al-Qiyamah, every single day 70,000 angels are entering to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then those angels, when they leave Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, they never come back. The next day 70,000 more angels, and then they leave, and then 70,000 more angels, and then they leave, all the way until Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And if this is the greatness of Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur, and if this is the greatness of the angels, then how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah created these angels, and Allah created Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. And always, this should be the thought of a Muslim. As a Muslim, you have to always ponder and contemplate. Whenever you see something which is strong or powerful or severe, then you have to think that if this, for example, the sun, if the sun is so severe, and it is only a creation, then how severe and how strong is the one who created the sun? And the same with the winds, which are devastating and they can destroy towns and lands and bring waves which are tsunamis. If they are so powerful and they are only creation, only air and wind, then how powerful is the one who created the winds? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was taken above the seven heavens to Sidratul Muntaha. And Sidratul Muntaha is a great tree which is above the seven heavens. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there, and no longer was Jibreel alayhi salam with him, only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَفَرَضَ عَلَيَّ خَمْسِينَ صَلَاةً فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. There, 50 salawat were obligated upon me in the day and the night. فَنَزَلْتُ إِلَى مُوسَى صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And then it came back down to Musa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Musa said, Ya Muhammad, ma farada rabbuka ala ummatik. He said, O Muhammad, what has your Lord obligated upon your ummah? Qultu khamsina salatan. I said 50 salah. Musa alayhi salam said, Irji ila rabbik. Go back to your Lord. Fas'alhu takhfif. And request for him to lessen the obligation. فَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكَ لَا يُطِيقُونَ ذَلِكَ Because your ummah will not be able to bear the obligation of 50 salawat. فَإِنِّي قَدْ بَلَوْتُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَخَبَرْتُهُمْ Because verily, I tested Bani Israel with this obligation and they were not able to do it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, رَجَعَتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي I returned back to my Lord. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَبِّ I said, O my Lord, خَفِّفْ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي I said, O my Lord, lessen the burden upon my ummah. فَحَطَّ عَنِّي خَمْسًا And so Allah reduced the salawat to 45. Five salawat were taken away. فَرَجَعْتُ إِلَىٰ مُوسَى And then I returned to Musa. فَقُلْتْ حَطَّ عَنِّي خَمْسًا Allah has removed five prayers from the 50. Musa replied, إِنَّ أُمَّتَكَ لَا يُطِيقُونَ ذَلِكَ Your ummah will not be able to bear this. فَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَاسْأَلْهُ التَّخْفِيفِ So return back to your Lord and ask him to lessen the burden. He said, قَالَ فَلَمْ أَزَلْ أَرْجِعُ بَيْنَ رَبِّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَبَيْنَ مُوسَى The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I kept going back to Allah and then back down to Musa. And five were taken away. And then Musa would say, go back up and ask your Lord for lessening of the burden. So then I would go back up and ask for more lessening of the burden. And then I would come down. And this kept happening between the Prophet and between his Lord and between Musa alayhi salam. Until Allah said in the final revelation, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, innahunna khamsu salawatin. O Muhammad, now there are only five salawat, fi yawmin wa layla, in every day and night. Walikulli salatin ashrun. And every salah will be multiplied by 10 for your ummah. فَذَلِكَ خَمْسُونَ And this is 50. Meaning, what should have happened is that we should have had 50 prayers which were obligated upon us. And for each prayer we get a single reward. So at the end of the night and the day we have 50 rewards with us. And Allah subhanahu, He kept lessening the burden until He lessened it to only 5 salawat. But out of His mercy, He multiplies the reward of each salah by 10. And therefore we still have the reward for 50 salawat. So even though the obligation, the action has been lessened, but the reward stayed the same. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَنَزَلْتُ إِلَىٰ مُوسَى And then I came back down to Musa. فَأَخْبَرْتُهُ أَنْهَا I informed him. And then Musa alayhi salam said, اِرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ Go back to your Lord. وَاسْأَلْهُ التَّخْفِيفِ And ask him to lessen the burden. So even only the five salawat, even then, Musa alayhi salam requested from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go back to Allah and to request for the burden to be lessened. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَدْ رَجَعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي حَتَّى اسْتَحْيَيْتُ مِنْهُ He said, I've gone to my Lord so many times and now I feel shy. I feel shy to go again. And my Lord has reduced the prayers to 5 prayers, but kept the reward at 50. And this is when the 5 daily prayers, they were obligated. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after all of this was done, and he was brought all the way back to Makkah, and back to his residence. And then the next morning, when he woke, and when the Quraysh woke, and when the believers woke up, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed them of the miraculous night journey. And he said, وَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ أَخْبَرْتُ النَّاسِ That when the morning came, I informed the people, أَنِّي قَدْ أُسْرِيَ بِي الْبَارِحَ That last night, I was taken on this night journey. وَوَصَلْتُ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ And I was taken to Jerusalem. وَرَجَعْتُ And I was returned back. فَتَعَجَّبُوا مِنْ ذَلِكَ And the people, they were astonished by this. فَقَالُوا They said, meaning the Quraysh, هَذَا كَذِبْ This is a lie. نَحْنُ نَعْمُ الْمُطِيِّ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ شَهْرًا As for us, it takes us a whole month to go to Jerusalem. وَالشَّهْرًا إِيَابًا. And then it takes us another month to return. وَهَذَا يَدَّعِي أَنَّهُ جَاءَ وَرَجَعَ فِي لَيْلًا. And this man, he's claiming that he went in a single night and on the same night he has returned. And the Prophet said, وَمَا عَلِمُوا بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَادِرٌ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. However, they did not understand that Allah has complete ability over everything. وَلَمَّا جَاءُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكَرٍ. And when they came to Abu Bakr, they said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ صَاحِبَكَ يَزَعْمُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. That this companion of yours, this friend of yours, I Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he claims so and so, and he claims such and such. What do you have to say about this? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Sadaq, he spoke the truth. Without any form of hesitance, he said, he has spoken the truth. Why? He said, إِنِّي أُصَدِّقُهُ فِي أَعْظَمِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, I believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in something greater than Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The fact that the Prophet was taken to Jerusalem and then up to the heavens and brought back to Mecca in a single night, I believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in something which he has told me which is greater than all of this. And that is, أُصَدِّقُهُ فِي خَبَرِ السَّمَاءِ. That I believe him when he tells me that revelation comes from the heavens to him. So if I accept and I believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he says that revelation and angels come from the heavens to him, then for him to be taken to the heavens is something which is even easier for me to believe. And this in summary is Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. And after this incident, or this incident in which Abu Bakr said sadaqa, he spoke the truth, inni usaddiquhu, I believe him, this is why he's called Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Bakr the truthful one. Because on this night, when the people were disbelieving and rejecting and astonished and unsure, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sadaq, he was truthful and he believed. And this is why he's known as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. When he said sadaqa, he spoke the truth. And then the author said, وَكَانَ يُصَلِّ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ مُدَّةَ إِقَامَتِهِ بِمَكَّةَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during his stay in Mecca, for those 13 years, he would face Jerusalem. When he would pray, he would face Jerusalem. But he would never give his back to the Kaaba. Rather, he would place the Kaaba in front of him, towards the direction of Jerusalem, and then he would pray towards Jerusalem. And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would face Jerusalem and Bayt al-Maqdis is because this was the Qibla of the prophets and the messengers from Bani Israel. So this was what the Sharia was upon. That the prophets and the messengers and their people, when they prayed Salah, they had to face Bayt al-Maqdis. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he remained upon this. So when the Prophet would pray Qiyamul Layl and the companions, they would face Baytul Maqdis. When they would pray those two rak'at in the morning and those two rak'at in the evening, they would face Baytul Maqdis. And this was mentioned by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. وَصَلَّ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ أَيْضًا بَعْدَ قُدُومِهِ الْمَدِينَةِ. And also, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Medina, after the Hijrah, he continued praying towards Baytul Maqdis. And this was for 16 or 17 months. For 16 or 17 months, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kept praying towards Bayt al-Maqdis. And of course, at this time, now the five daily prayers, they are an obligation. The reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even in Medina, he continued praying towards Bayt al-Maqdis, because firstly, this was the command of Allah, and also this was the Qibla of the Prophets and the messengers of Bani Israel, and also that the Prophet hoped that Ahlul Kitab, they would accept the message of Islam. The very fact that the Prophet is facing their Qibla and their Jerusalem and not the Kaaba, not Mecca, he hoped that Ahlul Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara, maybe this would attract them to Islam. However, after 16 or 17 months of praying towards Bayt al-Maqdis and Ahlul Kitab remaining upon their Kufr, then the ayah came for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to turn towards the Kaaba, the Qibla of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the house which Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he built. And Allah mentions in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would be facing Bayt al-Maqdis, he would hope inside him and desire that the Qibla is changed to the Kaaba due to the sanctity and the sacredness of the place. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would look up towards the skies, hoping that some revelation is coming down, so the Qibla is changed. And this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allah said, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, that verily we have seen you facing up to the heavens and back down, facing up to the sky and back down. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا, and now we will turn you towards the Qibla which you are pleased with. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, so now turn your face, I turn your direction towards Al-Masjid Al-Haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received this revelation whilst he was praying somewhere. And when he received this revelation, one of the companions who was with him, who was praying with him, he then left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and returned back to the masjid in Al-Madinah. And the people were in prayer. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. He said, خَرَجَ رَجُلٌ مِمَّنْ كَانَ صَلَّى مَعَهُ, that one of the companions who had prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left the Prophet, فَمَرَّ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْمَسْجِدِ, and then he went to those people who were praying in the masjid, وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, and they were in ruku'. And then he said to them, whilst they were in ruku', أَشْهَدُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قِبَلَ مَكَّةِ, he said, I bear witness by Allah that I have just prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the direction of Makkah. فَدَارُوا كَمَا هُمْ قِبَلَ الْبَيْتِ, and as they were in ruku, they turned around in ruku and they started facing Makkah. Meaning now the Imam, he was at the back and the people, they were at the front because all of them were facing in the opposite direction. Now they were facing south towards Makkah instead of north towards Jerusalem. And then people began asking that all of our prayers which we have been praying towards Jerusalem, what's happened to those prayers? And what about those companions who have died in these few years and they've been facing Jerusalem, what's happened to their prayers? Does that mean that their prayers are invalid? And then Allah revealed the next ayah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, that Allah will not allow your iman to be wasted, to be lost. And the meaning of iman in this ayah is salah. Meaning Allah will not allow your salawat, all that time in which you were facing Bayt al-Maqdis, to be wasted. Rather, you'll be rewarded for it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, because Allah is with the people, kind and merciful. And then the Yahud and the Nasara, they began to speak. Ahlul Kitab. And they began to say, look at these Muslims. That one minute they're facing Jerusalem and now they're facing Makkah. What's wrong with these people? And Allah mentioned this in the ayah. And all of this is in the second juz of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah said, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ, that the foolish people from amongst the people, from amongst Ahlul Kitab, they will say, مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا, what has turned them away from the Qibla which they were upon. قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, that for Allah is the east and the west. يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, and Allah guides whoever He wants to the straight path. Meaning, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Him is the east and the west. So for Him it doesn't matter which way a person faces. He obligated facing Mecca for two reasons. Firstly, as a test, that let's see who the real believers are. Will the believers accept this ayah and turn towards Mecca? And they did. Whilst they were in ruku', they didn't question, they turned towards Mecca. And the second reason why this was done, to honor our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this was his desire and this is something which he yearned for, and he should look up towards the heavens hoping this would be done. And then Allah revealed this ayah. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentions that this was in the middle of the month of Rajab, in the second year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this, the only thing that remains is that in Medina there is a masjid which perhaps some of you will have visited, called Masjid Qiblatain. the masjid of the two qiblas. And in this masjid, the belief amongst the people is that this is where everybody was praying, and the people were in ruku', and the ayah was revealed, and then all of them, they turned and they faced the other way. And if you go to this masjid, you will see on one side is the qibla towards Makkah, and behind, if you look at the top, there's a small shape of a mihrab, indicating that this was the initial qibla. And in reality, this is now known as Masjid Qiblatain, but its name isn't Masjid Qiblatain. The name of this masjid is Masjid Bani Salama. This is the name of this masjid. Because at that time, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tribe of Banu Salama, this is where they used to reside. And Ibn Kathir mentions that the story of the turning in the people in ruku whilst they were praying from Jerusalem towards Mecca, this happened in Quba, Masjid Quba. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was leading the people in the prayer. Because still, within those first months, Masjid Nabawi Sharif had not been built. So perhaps the ayah was revealed in Banu Salama. This area, this is where the ayah was revealed. But the story of the changing of the Qibla and the people changing whilst in ruku, this was in Masjid Quba. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.